The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man came with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. So now in the readings today, and particularly in the Gospel, you will not find a stronger rebuke in the Scriptures than the one offered by Jesus today to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." I wonder how Peter felt when the Lord said that to him. He must have felt pretty shattered. And that begs the question, I wonder, why did Peter say that to Jesus? And I suppose the answer is, he wasn't in touch with reality. He lived in his own world, or the world that he thought would be the right kind of one. But Jesus was always in the moment and facing up to reality. And Jesus' mission was to go to Jerusalem for that particular Passover. And he knew he would be putting himself in grave danger by going there. So he was forewarning his apostles, "Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if things always don't work out just as you want them to work out." And isn't that very true for most of us? We go through life and everything is going well, and then finally we meet with a major setback or disaster in our life. So if you reflect back maybe to this time last year, probably most of us were doing well. We were coming towards the end of the summer. Perhaps we'd been away on vacation, or at the moment we were just coming back from vacation. We were looking forward to next weekend, to the following weekend, to Labor Week weekend. And then switch over to where we are now, 2020, and summer 2020, and spring 2020, and how everything, the whole world, and many people's lives were turned upside down, totally upside down. And that's the reality at the moment. And there's no point in saying what is happening or this shouldn't have happened. that this is the reality at the present moment. And so we're asked to, now, how do we cope with that? How do we deal with that particular reality? And so we get some clues in the next few lines in the Gospel this evening. Jesus said, you've got to lose your life in order to gain it. So at the present, a lot of us, I presume most of us, have lost our normal life, our normal way of living. The normal things we do every day, we can no longer do. I never thought in all my years as a priest that Sunday after Sunday and day after day, I would be preaching to an empty church. I never thought that day would come when there would be nobody allowed into church, or, you know, very few people. I never thought that day would come in my wildest dreams. And perhaps neither did you. But we got to adjust. This is the reality at the moment. I never thought, and I'm sure you didn't, that every time I left the house or anybody, I was talking to anybody, I'd have to wear a mask. It's not what we're normally used to, but this is the reality at this moment. And you see, most of us find it very hard to adjust because we are dominated. We're totally under the control of the small self rather than the true self. How do we define the two of those? The small self is the opinion I have of myself, the role I play, how I look in the eyes of other people. But that's all passing. When I die, or when that'll be all gone. That doesn't make any difference. But my true self is who I am in God, the person I always was in God, before ever I was even born, from all eternity, from all eternity and for all eternity, if you can put it that way. That's my true self, and that's all that really matters. Also, you got to die to yourself in order to find yourself. If I'm always looking after myself, taking no chances, and as a lot of people are doing at the moment, burying their heads in the sand, don't want to know. You can't live life. Well, you can try to live life like that, but you're not living life. You're just existing. You got to. Life is about taking risks. It's about taking chances, dealing with what comes, and especially dealing with the unexpected. We need courage, you know. We need courage at the moment to face up to all the things happening around us. It's a very, very, for many people, it's a very trying time, a very traumatic time. I'm very aware that many people, and maybe many of you listening at the moment, you're in a situation, you're in a very precarious situation. Maybe you're not working at the moment, and you don't know if you even will have a job in the future. Your financial position has totally changed. You were doing okay or surviving well before. Now your very survival is in question from a financial point of view. And how worrying that must be. It is a big worry. So how do we deal with that? And with all the confusion in our society, with all the lies we are being told and the contradictory statements being made every day of the week. And so we need some examples in our life. We need courage. We need backbone. We need moral courage to deal with life as it is at the moment. And so where do we find that? Well, there are people around still, thankfully today, who are prophets. Jesus was a prophet, meaning he never failed to tell things as they were. He never failed to stand up for the truth. That's very, very important. When I look at my own life, did I always do that in my life? No, I didn't, because maybe at times I thought along the lines, well, if I do this, if I say this, I'm just going to get into trouble. So what do? We bury our heads in the sand, or we keep our head down and say nothing. That is not how Jesus wants us to behave. That too is part of losing one's life in order to gain life. If we go back on our own time, recently in the church, how we failed in that respect. I think most people today, when they look at the whole question of child abuse in the church, they're more annoyed by the people who knew about it but didn't do anything about it because they thought it would cause more scandal or harm the church. Is that the right way to act? No. Is that the way Jesus would act? No. No. Jesus always stood up for the truth and wasn't afraid to point out when things were wrong. And so this weekend and many weekends, there are thousands of people all over the country out marching, marching for their rights, marching for justice. I have great admiration and great respect for the people in Belarus at the moment who are marching against an unjust leader, somebody who cheated in a recent election. It was obviously that he didn't win by a majority of 80%. These people are risking their lives. Some of them have been imprisoned and tortured, but nevertheless, they still continue. We have people in our country at the moment who are marching peacefully, because violence is not part of it, or should not be part of it. What do people with no courage do who are fearful? They resort to violence. And so go back to Belarus for a moment. The man there, Lukashenko, what does he do when his position is threatened? He resorts to violence, to intimidation. You can't, you can't achieve anything like that. Ultimately, the violence will fail and he will fall. I can guarantee you that, because peace and justice always wins. Same way here in this country at the moment. We have to admire. You're very lucky here. You have some wonderful people, great prophets to look up to. For example, Martin Luther King Jr., what a wonderful man he was. He was a great prophet. And more recently, John Lewis. People like that who go out and speak the truth and work for peace and work for the truth. And that's what we're asked to do in our lives in our own little way. So never be afraid, because God will always help you. Never be afraid to stand up for what you know is right. That is laying down your life for the sake of others, for love, that's real love, for the achievement of justice, for the achievement of truth, is so, so important. If you always bury your head in the sand, and you don't get involved, and you're always looking after number one, well, Jesus asks you, what gain will that do you? If you gain the whole world and everybody's admiration, but in the end you have no real life, you'll lose your life. You never taste real joy in your life. What good is that? You just exist, but you don't achieve anything. So there's a lot in the gospel this evening to ponder on, but I want you to go back and think about that, about how you deal with things that you see are blatantly wrong, blatantly unjust. How do you deal with when you're confronted with total untruths, with lies? Do you have the courage to stand up and be counted?